This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Michael Yon, a war correspondent who is in Panama City after weeks and weeks of studying the Darien Gap, the 60 miles of triple canopy jungle without a passageway. There is no Pan-American Highway. That's the gap between Colombia and Panama. However, Michael's been traveling back and forth to Bayo Jaquito, which is the village. About 300 or 400 indigenous people keep a village on the edge of a river that is near the end of the Darien Gap. And they make profit from it because they charge the migrants coming through $65, Michael's reports, to be taken by boat to the Panama Highway, where the Centerfront, where the Panamanian authorities then bus them out of a gathering camp, bus them to Costa Rica. Costa Rica then takes over, and the migrants are headed north. You buy your way north, or you work your way north. But, Michael, I want more stories about who these people are. You've met with officials, doctors, physicians, and they've given you stories about where they come from and the ordeal they take. One particular story of great interest right now is an Ecuadorian man who is seeking his wife. Please explain.
Right. That's an interesting story, and it's still unfolding. A 58-year-old man from Ecuador woke up and found his a note from his wife that she was heading north, and she was leaving him. So she was heading up through the Darien Gap. And so, you know, in a panic, he took off from Ecuador, took a bus, found some migrants and hooked up with them, got into Colombia, started going across the Darien Gap. And so this is a 58-year-old man on a love journey, tracking his wife. And so he's out there for 10 days at this point, gets lost, loses the track of the migrants. And he was walking and he got trapped in a terrain feature. He fell down some sort of a hill. And he couldn't get out, so he was stuck down there for 5 days with no food. So this is now you're getting up to the 15th day that he's in the jungle. So he got lost on about the 10th day. Then he got fell down some area and he couldn't get out. It was too slippery and too steep. And so on about the 15th day, some Haitians came by and heard him screaming, and the Haitians helped him up, somehow rescued him, gave him some food, and spent a day with him. And they said, hey, you know, we can't stay out here with you. We got to keep going. So they kept going. And so he was still in the jungle, limping in. He said he was going to stay there a little bit more and gather a strength. The Haitians made it to Bajo Chiquito and told Centerfront that he's out there and he needs help. The Centerfront said, you know, he's too far out. We're not going to go get him. It's very dangerous for Centerfront, too. And so then after 22 days, he finally made it to Bajo Chiquito. And alive, obviously, because he came in under his own power. And so this is still unfolding in the last probably 5 days. He was just in Bajo Chiquito as much as 5 days ago and still looking for his wife heading north. And he was desperate to persuade Centerfront that he's not there to migrate, but he's on a love mission and trying to find basically the check on the box that would let him continue north to find his wife, who he believes is somewhere in Costa Rica at this point.
Right. The migrants go to Costa Rica, and then they're continuing their journey north, pretty much reproducing what we've seen in Panama. The authorities in the countries between Costa Rica and Mexico charge money, and they traverse the countries and reach Mexico, where it is not assured you will have passage from the southern border of Mexico to the northern border of Mexico. Michael has spoken with one young Haitian family who reached Mexico through this ordeal and are still in Mexico. Is that correct, Michael? They're working or they're waiting in the entry point of Mexico to get permission to go north.
That's right. They're still down in Tapachula. And so that's where, after the migrants make it through the Darien Gap, those who survive go through Panama, Costa Rica, Nicaragua, Honduras, and Guatemala, and finally they get into Tapachula, Mexico, which is sort of like the El Paso of Mexico. It's on the Guatemala border, and some of them stay there for 3 or 4 months, and so they have to get paperwork done and that sort of thing, and they say that the Mexican government makes it bureaucratically, difficult, pass, you know, jumping through hoops, and keeps them there for some long period of time. And then finally, as you know, the Haitians will tend to go on a westerly route north, and they'll come through, for instance, San Diego, different groups of people. For instance, Cubans will go through other, many of the Cubans go through, for instance, El Paso or other places. So different groups, Haitians will tend to go through San Diego. They'll find their own ways up there. So it's very interesting. It's sort of like the lonely planet for different groups. Down in Bajo Chiquito, I was told about a group of 10 Indian men that came in. They were in good condition. They were totally, they were in a group. They had the right equipment. They seemed like military age males. They were military age males, but they were, you know, just, like a unit almost. And they made it through fine. The people that are well prepared and stick together and, have some sense can actually make it through. But the rest, you know, continue north. And as you know, the journey does not get any safer as you continue to go north. They get robbed in Costa Rica. They get robbed in Nicaragua. They get robbed all the way. And then in Mexico, you know, everything's on the table. That's more cartel country as well.
What you're reporting also, Michael, and you say extracontinental, Africa, Asia, Nepal, we've talked about. In fact, you mentioned you heard tell of some Russians coming through. What we're learning, however, is that the numbers are increasing. Is that correct, Michael? Increasing, not decreasing over these months, even though we're in the rainy season. We have about a minute, Michael. Go ahead.
Definitely increasing, even though it's the rainy season. Normally, it kind of peters off right here because it's really terrible rains. Flash floods are common, and you might hear an aircraft taking off now near an airport or about to rent an airplane. Or maybe that's a train, Panama Canal. And, so anyway, yeah, it's definitely increasing. It's, you know, this month will be the most ever. And they're heading north.
All right.
And then they'll join the people from the Northern Triangle.
We'll report in with you, Michael, come the weekend. Michael Yan in Panama headed back to the Darien Gap for the migrant flow that increases in the rainy season, extremely dangerous rainy season. Those rivers are gigantic. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
It's Cybersecurity Awareness Month. LifeLock is here with tips to help protect your identity. Use strong passwords, set up multi-factor authentication, report scams, and update your software. And for comprehensive identity protection, LifeLock is your best choice. LifeLock alerts you to suspicious uses of your personal information and fixes identity theft, guaranteed, or your money back. Start your protection today with a 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com. Use promo code NEWS. Terms apply.